Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right. We're about to continue that conversation about tight ends here on a Friday in the Loop. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday to this point. Much appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for having that little crosstalk with the fellas of Payne and Pendergast.
I'm the worst.
Don't worry, I got you, bro. Like, that's what teammates are for, to pick each other up, mm-hmm. right? And we're going to have some, I guess, one-day teammates. We're going to sign some, like, one-day contracts.
Yeah.
1040, we'll talk to Chancellor Johnson, who is out covering the Houston Cougars mm-hmm. at the Final Four. So I want to get a lay of the land there. We'll talk about that. Another one-day contract teammate. Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, in studio.
He's in studio, 1120, right. Mm-hmm. So he is performing at the Improv mm-hmm. Houston this weekend, tomorrow, in fact. So he's going to come in and regale us with his comedic wisdom. So yeah. Looking forward to that. That is the team that we're putting together on the day, and of course, including John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atula, and Byron Matthews on the ones and twos. Figgy Fig is fine, as best I know. I don't think he's sick. He's not reading to the babies, though. I think he's just enjoying some time.
He's got that long weekend, actually.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I feel like he just had to get himself yeah. uber ready for the Cougars. All right, let's get back to this conversation that we brought up with the fellas. How do you get the most, mm-hmm. out of the tight end position this upcoming season? Because I think I tried to preface it really quickly there, but I want to circle back around to it. It really started for me mm-hmm. thinking about what this offense might be. Of course, everything with the Texans feels like, at least in my brain, mm-hmm. comes to, man, how are they going to get the most out of this offensive line, and what are they trying to do to maximize what's happening here? And one yeah. of the things I was wondering is, could it be possible, especially having a defense of this magnitude, that this team runs the ball a little bit more, that they become a little less dependent on the pass game, knowing mm-hmm. that you have the capabilities, you can't abandon it, right? Nico Collins is incredible. You add Christian Kirk to do things, and then most importantly, CJ Stroud is not a guy that you just want to say, I'll manage the game and eventually yeah. get to you. But I think that I do have a feeling that maybe you can balance this out, complimentary football, that kind mm-hmm. of buzzword comes in where you run the ball a little bit better, and that took me immediately to, one, is the offensive line capable, and then two, like, the things that are supposed to kind of help with that is getting in line tight ends mm-hmm. and blocking. And I was like, I don't know that that's the way that this tight end room works.
Well, I think you could easily argue, and I would argue there's probably more certainty in the tight end room than the offensive line room. Because let me put it this way. The uncertainty in the offensive line room is, well, how good are these guys going to be? You know, there are some questions about, you know, obviously we know the names, Cam Robinson, Trent Brown, you know, Lake and Tom, all of them, okay? But they, as Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans will often point out, they've all started in the league.
Sure.
They've all played those positions where they're at. So the uncertainty is kind of how good are they really going to be?
I think also there's a lot of uncertainty is, are you going to actually have a scheme that helps them
well,
pick some things
but that
up?
Fits the tight ends too.
Fair
so,
enough.
So the uncertainty with the line is, okay, how good are they going to be? The uncertainty in the tight end room, and I've been wanting to get to this topic, we've kind of danced around it a little bit, is are they even good? Can they even do it? You know, they don't have a track record. None of them have a track record. None of them have played that position the way we think they're going to want them to play it.
Okay.
You know,
I was going to say, it's like Dalton Schultz is the one, obviously.
He's a pass catcher.
He's the veteran, but he is a pass catcher.
Right.
Which is funny because mm-hmm. as the pass catching tight end, he's also like not incredible at pass catching.
Yeah, he's okay. But so my point is, I think, and I would argue it, There's more uncertainty in the tight end room than the offensive line room. And don't look now, but the tight end room, as we really found out in an ugly fashion last year, is crucial to the run game and pass protection.
Right.
And so Dalton Schultz, he can catch the ball. That's his reputation, no matter how good you think he might be.
Sure. Okay? And we've seen him do it in in flashes. We've seen the pass catching ability pop up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to what degree. And then obviously, whenever you're talking about production is always relative to what the contract is. That's part of what we talked about with Laremy Tunsil. The production pass rush was, or pass blocking was incredible. But with the pay that you have, you also need some other things. And with Dalton Schultz being, top 10 on average annual value for tight ends, the production isn't there to a certain degree. And that's highlighted even more by, Trey McBride stepping up and getting the highest average annual value.
He'll tell you he can't block. He was put on an island. So there's that. You don't even know. Then you go to Cade Stover. And as Seth said, we're kind of banking on him improving. Well, that's a big ask. All of a sudden, hey, you're going to be, our kind of shut down pass protector in certain formations. And then you go, Brevin Jordan, he's a hybrid sort of pass catcher, weapon kind of guy. You don't know. You don't have a tight end that you can say, well, at least he's blocked in this league before. None. Zero.
Yeah.
And so I would say that there's a bigger question mark there than anywhere.
Yeah. And I was even thinking, because this also then comes back to the level of uncertainty that we have in what this offense looks like. And I think that we are both somewhat in the same place. I think you're further along on this path than I am about the idea that they might run the ball more, and especially possibly in more of a gap scheme type circumstance. And so maybe that allows you to be more direct in who you have your tight ends blocking. But it does feel like you would probably need to have your tight ends involved if you're doing that, unless... Is there a possibility that they kind of spread some things out and maybe have, because you have of your three tight ends as of right now, and that's continuing on the thought process that you keep just these three tight ends. We'll get into some of the other possibilities of what tight ends there are to add, particularly in the draft here in 3 weeks. But with those three tight ends, two of them are pass catchers, right? Brevin Jordan, pass catcher, and Cade Stover, you would hope to continue to develop into a pass catcher so that you can have a little bit of that balance there. But you have two of them that are bona fide pass catching tight ends that it feels like you would probably just want to kind of put them in the slot and allow them to route folks up as opposed to, and route folks up sounds funny when I talk about Dalton Schultz.
It's a good term. I've never used it.
But you get out here and being in passing routes as opposed to being dependent on outside of maybe just even chipping, right? And I don't think that feels like that's in the cards, especially with the offensive line that you're situated. I don't know if you're in a place to go your five offensive linemen and then maybe a running back kept in, and that's a majority of your pass block. I don't know that you're situated for that in a Kaylee offense.
Well, and then the other thing that ties in directly with what you're saying,
and he likes 13%.
Yes, is let's say they are what I think they're going to be, and that's very much a Patriots pound the ball, run the ball, multiple backs attacking you, and then whether it's play action or whatever, CJ Stroud does his deal. It ties to, okay, well, maybe the system is what they're counting on more than the personnel.
That's been the thought process all the way around.
Yeah, but that means, fullbacks, help with the offensive line, maybe an eligible lineman at the tight end position in obvious situations and such like that. So I think it's a big question at tight end, but I think they're counting on the scheme. And then you also have to add, and Nick Casario said this with Payne and Pendergast, we'll probably hear it later, everything is on the table in the draft. That includes tight end. So maybe there's a tight end out there, whether it's second day, third day, whatever it may be, pick that they feel can fill that role as well.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting place to go to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of adding a tight end into this room, because I think that we all understand that, and you talked about Casario on Payne and Pendergast mentioning that all things are open. I don't know that they're so open that they get the two, I guess if we want to call them blue chip or first round grade tight ends in Loveland out of Michigan and Warren out of Penn State. I don't know that you get those guys, right? I don't think that they fall to you.
Right.
Outside of those guys, when you start looking at the tight ends in this draft, doesn't it feel like a lot of guys who are kind of more of pass catchers, until you get really deep into this?
Well, and maybe that's what they're looking at. That could easily be what they're looking at. You're talking about, Gunnar Helm, more of a pass catcher, right? the kid from Texas. There's some guys that down the road.
Gunnar Helm is more of a he is that big body, mm-hmm. Who seems to have almost like a Pat Freiermuth. I'm locked in on that name because mm-hmm. he makes about the same money as Dalton, but could have that kind of split with blocking and catching.
Yeah. So I can't give you a whole lot of names. I know there's a couple in the mid rounds that
Harold Fannin Jr. is
well,
the name.
That kid from Notre Dame is a big tight end. Mitchell Evans.
He's kind of looked at as
he's a blocker.
Yeah, he like exclusively a blocker. Yeah. That'd be like 180. So mm-hmm. we're talking about four or five yeah. rounds four or five.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe that's what they're looking at.
Maybe so. Mm-hmm. Like that does feel like a place where maybe you can add in. But I've been doing like the mock draft simulator, and I'm of the mm-hmm. version of mock draft simulator where I do like six or seven in a row because mm-hmm. I just want to see iteration. And the guys in that like day two area where I'm like, oh, maybe this is when you go for a tight end. Mm-hmm. Harold Fannin Jr., who seems like a really good pass catching tight end out of Bowling Green. You mentioned Gunnar Helm, who seems mm-hmm. like he could kind of split the difference. Elijah Arroyo, who seems more like a pass catching tight end.
A lot of them. There's
a lot of those kind of in that space. Terrence Ferguson from Oregon and Mason Taylor from LSU are some of the other names. Mason Taylor looks like he's kind of a second round guy. So mm-hmm. again, I don't know that within your first two picks that you're going tight end. Although again, Casario has said they don't feel like they are locked in any place. Yeah. But it just makes me and then I come back to the idea of if you do draft a rookie, how much do they then factor into what you are mm-hmm. trying to do? So it's this place where I'm super intrigued to see how they maximize that, because that's just talking about the blocking. I still think they need to maximize the pass catching, because that was lacking yeah. this past year. And of course, everything in the passing game was lacking because of your blocking. So maybe if you're able to block it up passing wise, mm-hmm. you see that come back. But I was looking because Trey mm-hmm. McBride got $19 million average annual value. Like, he becomes the highest paid tight end in NFL history. And I went, that took me to SpoTrack, where I was looking at the various contracts. And I mentioned Pat Freiermuth making the same as Dalton Schultz. He's clearly a much better blocker than Dalton Schultz. But even as a pass catcher, his passer rating mm-hmm. when he's targeted is higher. And I'm like, how do you also find a way to make that better? And I do wonder if it's like utilizing him against zones and sitting, like yeah. having him sit down as opposed to trying to hit him downfield mm-hmm. in the ways that it seemed like they did sometimes last year.
Well, the one thing that we can, I think is going to end up being the case, even with a drafted tight end or without, is they're going to use the fullback a lot more. Yeah. You can argue as they ask the question, you know, who's going to get more snaps, Cade Stover or Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
And I get the argument, but you're not going to take Dalton Schultz off the field more than Cade Stover. I mean, just regarding the ability to catch as a proven pass catcher, even if he may not be what we, you know, maybe want him to be.
And the relationship that he has with CJ also factors
what he's
in.
Paid.
How much do you think this team yeah. operates as
well? They committed to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even if you don't want to take in the money aspect, I mean, they've committed to him to be the guy. Now, maybe with a new offensive coordinator, new tight end, new offensive line coach, things change. But I think it is a silly question. I think Cade Stover Dalton Schultz is going to be on the field
How
more.
How silly do you think it is? Yeah. Sounds like your subconscious.
A little Freudian
see some,
there.
Yeah. Cade Stover out here.
I think Dalton Schultz is going to be on the field more, and it's going to be a lot of help. Like they were, as much as we can criticize Dalton Schultz, it was unfair what they did to him. It was just flat out unfair. He's not equipped to be a blocker one-on-one with a rush end in the NFL. He's just not.
No.
So there's going to be help.
In yeah. better situations where he's not yeah. put quite in that. But
yeah.
Nick Haley does love him a 13 personnel. He
that
does
too.
Like, you know, getting into some of these bigger packages. Mm-hmm. And I do think you're right. Maybe fullbacks or, mm-hmm. you know, like true jumbo packages bringing in an additional offense lineman yeah. could get you into that place. But it does feel like, hey, you're going to find a way to, you know, you're going to need to find a way to, you know, get him involved blocking wise in a way where you can get something mm-hmm. out of it. I do like this text that came in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. More zone read, like just also the types of runs that you have and the things that
maybe
that slow,
yeah.
slow defenses up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I always think about that in like, you know, passing game situations, the things that make defenders have to slow their rush,
mm-hmm.
make linebackers have to hesitate for a second. But it feels like that could also help in, you know, blocking off the edge is if those defenders have to think a little bit about
mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud, especially when we saw him unlock it in those more important times. I know that
yeah.
you're smiling at this inside. If he at least poses more of the threat during the regular season, even if he does not do it consistently.
I think it's a possibility.
of using his legs.
I think C.J. Stroud is more welcoming to that idea. I think clearly Nick Caley knows that part of the game quite well. We can argue about the how much he knows about the passing game, but he knows that part real well. And then there's this text, which I get where you're coming from on this, but it's just he's not a miracle worker. Maybe Caley can unlock the tight ends. He's a tight end coach. Born and bred,
yep,
you know.
By trade, absolutely.
He knows the offensive line. He knows tight end, but he can't work miracles. Like what they did with Dalton Schultz is just no one should have done that. I mean, he was one on one with name your best edge rusher. You can't do that.
Can I add another level to that?
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder, even if he can work miracles, I feel like his plate is going to be pretty full.
Mm-hmm.
Putting in an offense and trying to be like, he's stepping up to this position for the first time, and not saying that he's going to be incapable of doing it, but there's going to be a relative learning curve, even if it's, you know, it happens quickly and he gets up to speed. Like, that is an additional level of, you know, that job outside of then having to try and pseudo do the job of the position coach that he has in place. I don't know how much impact he's going to be able to have in that way. It'd be fantastic if he can help around the edges to where these guys are able to accelerate their growth and be better at it. I just do wonder how reasonable it is to expect the guy who now has the entirety, the purview of the entirety of the offense with a big question mark on the offensive line to then have so much of an impact in the hand on the tight end. But I'm interested to see how they continue to handle this. And it seems like a lot of people are very interested in adding a tight end to this room, whether it's, you know, later in the draft with maybe one of those kind of guys that we look at as more pass blocking capable.
Mm-hmm.
Or people even in the place where they would love trading up to maybe get like a Colston Loveland or a Tyler Warren should they get somewhat close to you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting because that kind of then moves away from the needs that we've talked about in offensive line, interior defensive line, and wide receiver. That kind of goes to an entirely different place. So very excited to see what the Texans do there, because they have...
It's a real thing, man.
There's a lot of question marks that still
exist. Tight end is real.
But that's every team, right? At this time of year, there's questions that exist in trying to put your team together. Nick Caserio on the job, and D'Amico Ryans, and the entirety of the Texans brass. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to the question of the day. If you want to have the best single day in Houston, what is one thing that's vital to either have happen or to do or go to in order to make that happen? 713-572-4610. Let's do it.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yep. Hey! Got the horns on a Friday, feeling good, feeling great. How are you out there, Houston, listening to your Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610? It is in the loop. You got John Lopez, myself, Reginald Adetula, Byron Matthews on the ones and twos, keeping it locked with you and you, both on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, and the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams, both on YouTube and Twitch. And all those places are places where you can get involved with the conversation, right? As plenty of people have, talking about Nick Caley and the tight ends and how this thing is going to look like we started. Or getting involved with the question of the day, which is, If you're trying to have the best day in Houston, single best day in Houston, what's one thing that's vital for you to have in that? Again, 713-572-4610. I thought this up because Mo Ammer.
Yeah, who is go through this because this was good.
Houston-based comedian. A-Lee, stand up. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Star of the show Mo on Netflix.
Which I'm addicted.
One. I am as well.
Yeah.
And it started, obviously, I love Mo as a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. I love Houston, so it was easy to get me in. I saw him in
Houston Vistas in every episode.
Yeah, that's really the thing that makes me, like, it's small, but it makes me happy. Those little cutaway shots between scenes where I'm just like, I know there.
Wait, that's the Breakfast Club.
I know exactly where that is.
Hey, wait, there's the president's on 545. There's the Be With Someone sign.
Right, exactly. I know. So, but he was talking to the Houston Chronicle, and one of the things that he was talking about was how to have the best day in Houston, according to him. And he actually set out an itinerary. You don't have to do all of this, but just what's one thing that's vital in there? Because he starts at 8 a.m. and he says you either get breakfast at the Breakfast Club or Pit Room for him. Then 10 a.m. golf at Herman Park. I've not played golf at Herman Park.
It's so cool.
Is it for real?
It's right there by the zoo, and you can see downtown and even the medical center and on some holes, and people are jogging, and it's like Houston. I mean, it's just like it is Houston. That you can tell by two things you just said, and I know you have others. When he said breakfast at the Pit Room, very low key, great breakfast that only Houstonians really know about.
That's one thing that feels like it is part and parcel of Houston as a community, but also Houston as a food city. I always say I think Houston is a world class food city. It's just a blue collar food city.
Yeah,
right. It's not all that uppity. Although there are places where you can get, like, you know, high level, you know, meals, including, I think we have, like, we're now getting Michelin stars.
Last year,
we got some Michelin stars
here
in Houston. But it feels like there's so many great places where you could pull into a shopping mall or strip mall and then get some of the best food of your life, especially like food from all different countries, all different cultures.
Yeah.
Like, and so, in that way, it's real low key, but it's real good.
And then Herman Park. That's just so cool. That's definitely, you know, he's from here.
Some more lunch at Cedar's Bakery. He said a nap at home, dinner at Mai's, those type of things. So I'm interested in what are the things that you need. And I appreciate that the Sean Pendergast went immediately to cool weather.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know that I'd set the bar at below 75, but it would be below 90 at the very least, right? Like, I would like to be able to top down, you know, tops down, top. I'd like to drop tops.
Tops.
Is ultimately what I was trying to get to. But I'd like for that to be able to windows down, cruise around Houston first and foremost. But yeah, you mentioned one of them that I actually thought about, which is indeed the Houston Zoo. And some of that is, like, personally, I've had a fantastic day at the Houston Zoo.
It's great.
With, I think, one of my little brothers, when at his 10th birthday, I took both of my little brothers to the Houston Zoo. And it's just a fantastic memory. The zoo itself is incredible, but then also having that particular memory, it's a fantastic place that I have quite a connection to. So I love the Houston.
My thing might start, you know, early morning, maybe even right as sun's breaking, is get on one of these trails. It's truly, even for Houstonians, you know, especially those out in the suburbs and stuff that don't come into town a whole lot, it's the most underrated thing in town. You know, the Heights Trail, I'm always on that one. You know, the Buffalo Bayou, I'm always on that one. Just a walk, you know, you don't have to go jogging or biking or whatever. Like, the trails in Houston are just fantastic. That's where I start. Work up an appetite, and then you blow all your exercise on breakfast. There's a couple of great ones. Get some chilaquiles, you know, at a Mexican food one,
right,
or huevos rancheros, something like that. Or go to some of these, you know, really high end, terrific breakfast places in Houston. Those would be two crucial things, because the rest of the day is gravy, no pun intended, after that.
I like what you did there. KDDA weighs in on the text line. Golf, beer, buds, pool, and the grill in that order. Oh, yeah. So he's like, I don't even need to leave my general vicinity, right? We can do this at the house and do this in a really good way. By the way, go ahead and hit your boy up. Help me out. Like, what are some nice, relatively accessible, I'm not good enough to be spending all this money, but this is good golf courses, because I'm trying to, you know, get things
public
with the weather out. Publix, man.
Like, yeah, there's a bunch of good ones.
Yeah, help your boy out on the text line with that, because I do need to get out here and play a little golf. From the 713, no humidity, no traffic.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I was like, you're fighting the good fight there, friend, but you are really going to have to triangulate if you want the best day possible in Houston under those circumstances. I mentioned with the fellas, I think, and this is speaking to the low key, like he mentioned Breakfast Club, Mo did. I'm just like, give me some kolaches. Kolaches, Kolache sure. Factory. It just feels like that is so uniquely here.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, I need some kolaches. But maybe you go a different breakfast route. 713 on the text, a different 713. Breakfast tacos at Sunrise Tacos or Huevos Rancheros at Sunrise Taquito.
Laredo Taqueria. Ooh, those are good. And it doesn't always have to revolve around food. You know, like I said, I did say the trails, but my mind keeps going to food. Obviously, people are going to mention barbecue in Houston, and there's a million of good places. My favorites, yeah, of course, are the Pit Room, Truth Barbecue, a couple of Pinkertons. Those are my favorite. But don't sleep on chicken fried, man. Chicken fried steak in Houston. There's some great places.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I go to Barbecue Inn. Whew, that's a good one, too.
Well, why not chicken fried chicken?
why not chicken fried chicken?
D-Paul 713, mm-hmm. 713 on the YouTube. Gotta get some Frenchies, which that is fair.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Get that,
oh,
that yeah. straight up.
Or Gus's.
But the only thing about Gus's is mm-hmm. Austin started and it's around Texas.
That one on Washington Ave is awesome.
No, Gus's yeah. is great. Don't yeah. get me wrong. However,
but Frenchies for sure.
Frenchies is Houston, baby. Mm-hmm. Like Frenchies is here. Mm-hmm. Like there was a point in time where I had a plan to drive all over the state of Texas to get the various different fried chickens with some of my
you
friends.
You did that?
I didn't, because on the day we were supposed to go, one of the dudes got sick and we never rescheduled. But I was so excited.
A little tour of Texas.
Yes, a little. Yeah, that probably speaks to where I am. Somebody said Rockefeller Oysters mm-hmm. Is a mandatory. All right, from the Rupor, is that am I saying that correct? Mm. Anything else after that is just bonus. All right. There's some various golf courses that people are saying, hey, these are the ones that you got to hit up.
Yeah,
I love that everybody's like, yo, we got to get these food. Oh, from the 832. See, I was like, we need some more experiences, right? Maybe mm-hmm. the go to the B someone sign or whatever. Although that's real touristy. Like you see that when you're driving down 45. That's good enough.
Yeah, like the Galleria would not be on my list.
Really?
Nah, that's just kind of a weekend touristy.
Great people watching though.
Great people watching.
Like that's
ice,
the thing.
Ice rink, all that stuff. But it wouldn't be on my list. I would do like in terms of like activities, like depending on the time of year. Catch a ball game, and it doesn't have to be Astros, Texans. Like, you know, go to Rice. That's a beautiful ballpark.
That's a good
man.
Point.
Rice is a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about going to one of these events.
The Sabercats. You want to just spend a good day with some, you know, watching some of that?
Yeah, shout out to the Sabercats.
Dynamo.
Yeah, Dynamo's like all of them pretty damn good experiences if you get out there on the right day.
High school football. Go catch a Katy game or a North Shore.
How about this from the 832? If you're not scared. Go see the Slabs on a Sunday. That's a great point,
dude.
That is a fantastic point.
Awesome. That is a great event. I went there. When was it? We went there. Oh, I was making an appearance with OG Sauce and those Slabs. It's wild, man. It is so cool. That's a great one right there.
All right. So, mm-hmm. man, keep those coming in, man.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just love this city, man. And there's a lot of ways to have a great day. Hope you're having a great one. Right now on this Friday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, what will make it a great weekend is if the Cougs handle some business, and that starts tomorrow at 7:49. All right, there we go. And you'll hear that here on mm-hmm. Sports Radio 610. Let's get ourselves primed for this game with a man who's covered this team all year, and he's out in San Antonio covering them again. His name is Chancellor Johnson. You've seen him on the TV, and you'll hear him on your radio next.
Tua.
All right, yep, you are indeed in the loop. We were just talking about the thing that would be vital for you to have the best day in Houston. Someone brought up the gallery, and I've seen people were pretty hot and cold on it. You know, Obviously kind of touristy and really, really busy. So, it can be a little annoying in some ways. But mm-hmm. shout out to Damian on the text line who said, years back, I found my dad's master's thesis, and it was the Galleria. He designed it. Long
That's
past
incredible.
Now, but he came up with the ice rink idea. Crazy to think about. So, shout out to Damian, mm-hmm. for whose pops designed the Galleria in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have some designs on some Houston Cougars wins.
Yes, and you're an architect.
That's right. Well, no, I can't say that. I'm not credentialed. I didn't even get no degrees. But a man to tell us how the Houston Cougars get those wins this weekend joins us now on the hotline. His name is Chancellor Johnson. He's covered this team all season long. You've even seen him recently kind of do a nice series talking about these Cougars for the Houston Chronicle. Chancellor, what's it like there in San Antonio right now, brother?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been great. Obviously, a lot of excitement in the air. Naturally so, whether it's the Houston Cougars taking on Duke or Auburn taking on Florida, this is one of the best Final Four, at least on paper, that we've seen in over a decade, right? You're talking about four number one seeds, all for the right to get to win a national championship. It can't get much better than this. You're going to have two great matchups on Saturday leading to the national title one on Monday.
Chancellor, definitely want to get to all of that because it's such a meaty Final Four, as you just laid out. But set the scene for us, man. I mean, you couldn't have drawn it up better with the Cougs fans, you know, 200 miles away. I know a lot of people that are headed down there as we speak. Mm-hmm. I know they're having open practice today at 1 o'clock. They're going to have a Riverwalk rally. I mean, what's the scene like? Is H-Town taking over San Antonio?
Absolutely. But, you know, of course, it's still Friday, so people are still trickling in right now. And of course, when you're taking on a team like Duke, you're going to see a lot of Blue Devil gear as well. And so, obviously, it's in the Houston's state, but anytime you take on a program as premier as Duke, they're going to flood the arena as well. So, it helps for Houston. It's not like last week when they were in Indianapolis and had to play a team like Purdue, who was, you know, down the road, and they're a lot closer. But I'd probably say I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be a little bit more of a 50-50 split. And that's just because of how big of a program and how well-respected Duke is. But certainly a lot of H-Town Red here in San Antonio.
So I know, I mean, Kelvin's not laying out his plans, even though, you know, he's talked to the media. But you're a dude who is well tapped into what this team does and kind of somewhat how they think. This is probably the biggest challenge that they faced all year. Like, first and foremost, What is the very basics of the game plan to try and guard Duke when you have a lot of talented players around Cooper Flagg and you have Cooper Flagg himself? Do you think it's more of a take away Cooper Flagg and let the others try and do it, or take away the others and see if Cooper Flagg can beat you?
Yeah, it's really pick your poison, right? And it's something that so many teams throughout the season have struggled with, because obviously their guy, their star is Cooper Flagg, but they have three lottery picks on their team, right? Conca Nipple, as well, who will be a top 10 pick. He's a shooter. And that's the thing, they have shooters all the way around. Then even outside of their top three, you also have a guy like Tyrese Proctor, who is a junior on the squad, who's played against Houston last year and even the year before when they had a secret scrimmage. So they have so much talent throughout their roster. But one thing about Houston, they're going to do what they always do, right? And that's trap on ball screens. They're going to get after you defensively. And one thing talking to the Houston staff about is they wanted to be sure that they don't overreact to things, right? That they want to play their brand of basketball and, once again, do the same things that they've done all year long, and something that so many teams have struggled with all season. And it's the reason why Houston is the number one defense in the country, and they don't want to overreact to made threes, because as easy as it is for them to go on a run and make a bunch of threes and make shots, they can easily do what we just saw Tennessee do last week, where they struggled to hit to basically any shots, right? And so, and the same thing with John Shire. He was talking about how he's been losing sleep trying to prepare for this Houston Cougars defense, but they don't want to overreact on their end either. They know they're going to miss some shots, and so I think this is going to be a heavyweight fight. And the thing about Houston, when it comes to these heavyweight fights, they've been doing it all year long, something that Duke can't really say the same. Duke, they've been in close matchups, contrary to kind of the popular belief that's been out there, but not at the same amount and the same level of competition that Houston has been. Think about when they went on the road to take on Kansas and they had to pull it out in double overtime, or on the road against Texas Tech or Arizona or Baylor. Like, the list goes on. They've been in these close matchups throughout, and they just lean on you. And somehow, some way, they always tend to figure things out. That's the reason why on the road they went undefeated. And in a big matchup like this on Saturday, I think it's going to be a close matchup, and it's going to be a really close call and a tough one to call it, at least for me.
Yeah, you talk about losing sleep. I think a lot of Cougs fans, including myself, can lose some sleep. My big worry with Duke is not necessarily, obviously, the offense is a worry, but their defense is nearly as good as the Cougs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's top 10, maybe top 5. I forget exactly where they are. But and the thing that worries me is they can switch at five positions. They can switch every position. And Cryer and Uzun, that's going to be a tall task. Do they lean on the inside game a little more?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about Duke, and that's one of the clear advantages they have with Houston, is they're just bigger than them, right? 1 through 5, right? They have so much size, and then when you talk about, you know, Cooper Flagg, what he's able to do as far as a roamer as well, he's great. He's a great help defender. They have a number of shot blockers. But the one thing that I think people aren't talking about Houston enough is, yes, as you know, when you think about Houston, you talk about their toughness, you talk about their defense, but they're also really good offensively as well. And that's something that's been as much of a strength as their defense has been. You have on the wing, on the perimeter, they have three guys who are shooting it 42% from deep. Houston has never had, as a team that's shooting 39% from three as a whole, and so they've never shot over 35% over since 2020, really. And so they have shot makers, whether that's LJ Cryer, whether that's Emmanuel Sharpe, which Tennessee saw firsthand, and then Miles Uzan, right? We've seen him show up in big games, and then even off the bench, Malik Wilson, who I think this might be a Malik Wilson type of game, because it's going to take more than just their starters to step up. And then, you know, we talk about their wings, but even on the inside, with Juwan Roberts, who we saw him wake up in that game against Purdue in the Sweet 16. So, you know, as much as we want to talk about the Houston Cougars' defense, their offense is more than formidable as well. So that's why I said it's going to be a heavyweight fight. I think the other thing, too, that really intrigues me about Houston, and I think that makes them so good, is they can beat you in so many different ways. Because even when the ball is not falling into the basket, they can just simply beat you on the boards. And so that'll be the challenge when we talk about this Duke's, how big Duke's team is, and can they beat them on the boards like we've seen them do to so many teams throughout. But I'll give you a great example. When they played Kansas at home, Houston really didn't make a ton of shots. But you know what they did? It didn't matter because they rebounded the basketball, and their best offense was second-chance points, and we saw that in that game. We'll see if it transfers over today, tomorrow, at least in the Final Four.
We're talking to Chancellor Johnson out here talking UH basketball. He's out there in San Antonio getting ready for this thing. At the risk of sounding cliche, we could kind of look at the way that these two teams match up, and we talk about the larger aspects of it. What's kind of the thing that it seems like people are missing in this matchup? What's kind of the X factor underneath the larger current of what's going on in this game?
Yeah, to me, going back to what I was saying as far as Houston has so many different guys that can beat you. One thing that I think is noticeable is, you know, with Duke down the stretch, if it is close, the ball is going to be in the hands of Cooper Flagg. And that's when the few losses that they had this season, it was Cooper actually kind of turned the ball over and not being able to make the play. And obviously that was a long time ago, right? And both teams have grown so much. But on the plus side, when you think about Houston, if this is a close game, one thing that I think is really interesting is they have so many different guys who can step up late. We've seen it with LJ Cryer, who's been doing it really since he's come over from Baylor, and really has helped this team out, to Emmanuel Sharpe. Like I said, when you look back in that game against Tennessee, when Tennessee was starting to try to make a comeback, Emmanuel Sharpe, with 20 seconds on the shot clock, right, when they're trying to really bleed the clock, would shoot the ball almost from the logo. He didn't care. And that's one thing that Kellen Sampson and this Houston Cougars coaching staff, Kellen and Kelvin, have talked about of being fearless. And when you talk about being on the Final Four stage, right, with a trip to go to the national championship, you do have to be fearless. You can't be scared to take a shot. Emmanuel Sharpe isn't scared to do it. Neither is Miles Uzan, who on the back end of the season, he stepped up for them in games as well. And so that's on the perimeter. But inside, we've seen Juwan Roberts take the big shot to win the game, right? Or in the game against Purdue, where Kelvin Sampson drew up a play late to perfection, and they were able to execute. And so that's the thing about Houston that I think they do have the advantage over Duke, is they have some more veterans who have played in bigger games just as much as Duke has, if not more, and that down the stretch, if this game is close, they feel confident that they have a number of guys that the ball's in their hands, they have to go make a play, they have the dudes to go and do that.
Chancellor Johnson, he covers all sorts of Houston sports, and he's out in San Antonio covering the Cougars. What you been getting into San Antonio? You been on the Riverwalk? You got you some churros? What you doing?
Actually, you know what? I took the Charles Barkley route, right? Yeah, I gotta get the churros. And then I'm getting into some Tex-Mex. And you know, here's the thing. I've been to San Antonio a few times, but out of the bigger cities in Texas, Austin, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio has been at the bottom of my food list. So they're gonna have to show me something while I'm here. You know, I'm gonna definitely hit the Riverwalk, grab me a singular margarita, and kind of enjoy the spoils of San Antonio. But it's going to be a fun weekend, no doubt.
Don't drink too much. You got some work to do still. At Chancellor TV on Twitter, if you want to follow him as he covers this thing. Chance, appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Chancellor Johnson joins us.
I got him, by the way. We can text him someplace.
Yeah, go ahead. Help my man out being out there. Excited to see this team hopefully knock off Duke, just because people don't like Duke. And then also,
it's going to be a I hate to use this term because it's overused, but it's going to be a war, man.
It is. Yeah. It is. But this is the best equipped Houston team that we've seen in years, I think, in order to handle this particular matchup. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We'll circle back around to that big time matchup that's going to happen tomorrow with your Cougs versus Duke. But coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including, is it possible that Shedeur Sanders is not being looked at in either the second or the third overall pick? Let's talk about that and more next. All right.